The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
America has now evolved into a country where if you are going to a Christian college or a Christian school, judges and others, including the Biden administration, they don't believe that you should have First Amendment protections for your religious freedom and your religious liberty. Thank goodness we have organizations like Alliance Defending Freedom and others on the front lines of this battle for America's soul. America was founded by Christians from the 13 colonies. Yes, there were different flavors. Yes, different denominations. But by the time we had the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, look, not everybody was a born-again Christian who were our founding fathers. And yes, there were probably some deists. And yes, there were probably, you know, agnostics. I don't know of too many atheists. But they all came together and realized that the biblical principles of the Old and New Testament were absolutely were necessary for this new experiment in the republic and the democracy that requires a moral nation in order to thrive. Well, to talk about some folks that want to upset that paradigm today is Ryan Bangert, who is the senior counsel, vice president of legal strategy at Alliance Defending Freedom, going to be talking about the College of the Ozarks versus the Biden administration. And, you know, he served as senior counsel and vice president for legal strategy at ADF. He oversees the Center for Academic Freedom, the Conscience Team, and the Regulatory Litigation Team, also assisting ADF leadership with strategic initiatives. He got his bachelor's from Oral Roberts University, his JD from Southern Methodist University in 2004, and he graduated first in his class. Congratulations. He participated in the Blackstone Legal Fellowship in 2002. Very important fellowship, I should tell you. Following law school, he clerked for Judge Patrick Higginbotham at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. He's an active member there in the Texas Bar. He practices before the U.S. Supreme Court and also federal courts as well. And with that, we are honored to have Ryan Bangert with us today. And Ryan, thanks and welcome to the show.
Thank you much, Bill. Appreciate it.
You know, I'm a little surprised that this didn't go the way it should have gone, and I'm sure you guys are none too happy with what the judge decided. Tell us what this case is all about, and tell us what reasoning this lower court judge gave to say, well, the Biden administration is correct on this.
Sure. Well, the case is about a regulatory edict that was handed down by the federal government. In this case, it was the Housing and Urban Development Department, acting at the behest of President Biden, who on the very first day in office issued an executive order saying that every statute in the federal code that prohibits sex discrimination has to be read to prohibit gender identity discrimination, among other things. And so that's a big change. And that's something that is not found in the text of the law. It's something that's being written in there by President Biden. And Housing and Urban Development, taking a cue from him, issued this directive. It's a letter, not very long. It was written by a bureaucrat, an unelected bureaucrat, not Senate appointed, who said, yes, I agree with President Biden and the Fair Housing Act, which is a federal statute that prohibits discrimination in housing, has to be read to prohibit gender identity discrimination. Well, what does that mean for schools like College of the Ozarks? It means that housing, which includes dormitories, cannot be provided in a way that discriminates against folks who claim to be transgender. How does that play out? Well, if a man shows up on campus at College of the Ozarks and identifies as female, College of the Ozarks would be required by this directive to house that male in the female dormitories. So that's where the rubber meets the road. And that's why we brought the lawsuit, because College of the Ozarks is a school been around for about 100 years. It's a Christian college based on biblical principles. And part of that belief system, part of that belief is that God created us male and female, that sex is immutable, it cannot be changed. And as part of living that out, College of the Ozarks separates men and women into separate dormitories, and forcing them to house men in women's dorms would cut against College of the Ozarks' deeply held religious beliefs. So that's what the lawsuit is about. And now the court's decision that was issued about a week ago, and the court did not decide the merits of the case. What do I mean by that? Well, the court didn't say one way or the other whether this new directive violates College of the Ozarks' religious liberty. It grounded its decision purely on justiciability and standing. And what do I mean by that? Well, the court more or less said, look, College of the Ozarks, nobody has brought an enforcement action against you yet. You need to wait until you're actually in the throes of an enforcement action, which could result in hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines. You need to wait until that point to bring a challenge. You can't bring the challenge now, even though the federal government has acted, even though the federal government has spoken. We disagree with that. We're going to take it up on appeal to the Eighth Circuit, and we're confident that we're going to get relief there.
Is this subject to a person trained in the legal field, Ryan Banger? Is this now? This happens all the time, but I just ask a question: is this like kicking the can down the road? That are we missing something that should not a redress like this be taken to a court? And shouldn't the court begin to put in motion the proper procedure to say, hey, is this constitutional or not? And you're going to try and force this with the appeal. But talk about that, because no wonder things get tied up in the courts for years and decades.
Indeed. And your analogy to kicking the can down the road is a pretty good one. And courts have this saying. They say they won't address hypothetical disputes. They won't address abstract questions. They want to have a real, what the constitutional language is case and controversy, a real-life dispute. But the thing is, we have one here. We absolutely have a real-life case and controversy, because what happened was the federal government issued a directive, and this is very important. The directive that was issued by HUD was sent out to all the enforcement agency, the enforcement arm of the federal government. The folks in the federal government who receive complaints from individuals who claim they've been discriminated against, they investigate those complaints, and if they find the complaints have a solid basis, they have the authority to bring charges. So this directive was sent out to those enforcers, and it told them, from this point going forward, if you receive a complaint about housing discrimination that asserts someone was discriminated against because of their gender identity, you have to receive that complaint, you have to investigate it, and if you find that it's well-grounded, you have to bring a charge. And not only did that go out to the federal enforcers, that directive also went out to folks in state governments who receive federal funds to bring enforcement actions to address housing discrimination. So this thing has real-world impacts. This directive has real-world consequences. So this is very different than the hypothetical that the courts are worried about addressing.
You're listening to the voice of Ryan Bangert, who's a senior counsel vice president of legal strategy at Alliance Defending Freedom. As always, I want you to bookmark adflegal.org, adflegal.org. You know that they and a handful of other agencies, nonprofit agencies, on the front lines of all these battles. Important to follow them on your website. And please, if you want to preserve the four pillars, faith, our freedom, our families, our free enterprise of our Judeo-Christian America, hey, give them a contribution as well and support the work at adflegal.org. Now, I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball, and if you don't feel comfortable in answering this, please don't. It's on a big picture. So here we are. This is a lower judge ruling. But in the last couple of years, we have seen that, and this goes back to my kicking the can down the road, if you are a judge, now ADF is already used to all of the hate mail, the protesters, and all of that that are against our Judeo-Christian values. But now a judge. Now judges usually already have a little bit of thick skin because they're going to wanting to go in or they're called to controversy. But now if you just say or rule against something, you got the whole cancel culture crowd, and with a couple of pushes of a button on a computer, you're going to have all sorts of people that may come down to your court, they may come to your house. Are you concerned with this sort of vigilante environment that we're in? Are you concerned that some of these cases in the future, I'm not saying this judge, not this case, are you concerned that we are getting to a point where some judges might want to kick the can down the road in a lot of these things because they don't want to bring any of this, attention on themselves?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, I have no doubt that Judge Ketchmark is a fine public servant, and I know I have full confidence that she decided this case fairly and squarely as she saw it. We just simply disagree with her on the law. So I have no complaints there. But I will tell you, cancel culture is a real thing, and it is a problem in our country. And this reflexive desire to punish those with whom we have, in many cases, good faith disagreements is opposite to and antithetical to the American tradition of free debate. And so the cancel culture is a thing that I think is very concerning from a broad perspective, not just from the judicial perspective, but from a broad cultural perspective. And I think it is something that every American of good faith should be concerned about deeply.
Last quick question. I assume that basically this will have to make its way up to the Supreme Court. And so that's going to take some time, various different stops along the way. Will the Ozarks be able to have an injunction against any enforcement while this is moving up the ladder?
Well, we certainly have the ability to ask for that, and I anticipate we likely will do so from the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. But pending that, right now there is no injunction in place, but we're hopeful to get one in place soon.
All right. First of all, thank you very much to all my friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. I'm just so proud of what you guys do there, you guys and gals do there. And I want to tell you again, you need to be following adflegal.org, adflegal.org. And, I mean, literally, not only the dozens and big numbers of dozens of cases they're handling, you have no idea of stuff that has been forwarded to them that they're combing through, thousands of cases maybe. And so that's how the need is great, and that's why you need to be focused on them. And Ryan Banger, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day today. We'll be watching this one and maybe be calling you back when something strange or something good happens, but thanks for explaining it very well today to our audience.
You bet, Bill. Thanks for all you do.
God bless. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.